blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Seems as though all of the crusts have different responses to transition.
So referring back to the email, the resistance email class we just completed, and there was a homework assignment that had to, where we had to look at that jewel, our authentic nature, and the crusts that were built up around that.
Yeah, the so-called protective.
Protective
layers. Actually predict conditioning, not the jewel. Anyway. And seeing how it tends to be that the ones, that the perspectives that get attention are the ones with dire predictions about what's going to be happening and just how, you know, transition is not a good thing. And it feels like it completely drowns out the actual experience as well of being excited or looking forward to things or sort of being open to whatever life is going to provide in any given transition.
So just looking at that period of transition, which, I mean, we go through many transitions of all different intensities or levels, and just seeing how how conditioning wants to pull us to the dire consequences, possible dire consequences of the transaction, or the transition, transaction, rather than other things that may be going on. If you know, the sensations which might indicate excitement, and probably just possibility. With no story attached.
Yeah, exactly. To being open to possibility and not because conditioning and just really believes it knows. It knows.
It would like us to believe it knows.
Yes. Yeah. And all the information it's feeding is actually what the future is going to bring. Of course, it hasn't any more of a clue than I have. Whoever I is who's speaking. But it can be, at times, particularly in the middle of the night, very convincing that that was.
It's so cruel. Again, I mean, just, you know, when it catches us at our most vulnerable all the time,
yeah.
Which in often, you know, could be during a period of transition, and to want to go at us with those things it knows that will just hook us.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, it does know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just so grateful that we're also having a theme of the spirit of inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, going into any transition,
mm-hmm.
With that, from that place of what is this going to be like? What is conditioning doing with it? What are the possibilities that might, all of that,
mm-hmm.
How to practice with it within the spirit of inquiry is so much more kind and fun.
Exactly.
Than doing it from a place of all things are going to happen and you got to be careful and protect yourself.
Protect, yes.
Yeah.
There's some, like, as if there's some way that we can guard ourselves and again, control.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we'll have a particular outcome.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it keeps us focused, keeps me focused on the illusions rather than
mm-hmm.
on the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the present moment is far more rewarding and interesting.
Yeah. Far less suffering in the present moment than
yes.
in the illusions of what might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Jim.
You know that way that the same thing cycles through with some frequency? You think you sort of let go of a thing and lo and behold. Well, speaking of stories, the story that seems to just come back again and again. And I've talked about this so many times, and so I'm just going to talk about it one more time. Is I should be different, or you should be different,
mm-hmm.
June, you should be different. How you are is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just sitting here this morning, I realized that for several days, it's just about my whole reality. It just covers
mm-hmm.
everything. How you are is not okay. You should be different. And and when I look at it in the spirit of inquiry, I don't see much except why is this here again? how does this happen? How does this person just get
mm-hmm.
caught in that so much?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll just keep looking at it.
Mm-hmm. So just seeing this story that's so common that June just needs to do it different. She's not good enough exactly the way she is.
Yeah.
And as you were saying that, I was just, what was coming up is just how, for how long June believed that story and didn't even know it was a story, you know, wasn't able to see that being played out and see the repetitive nature of it. And right there, it seems to be an inquiry going on.
Yeah, yeah. And as you were saying that, there's something wrong with me. I should be different. It shouldn't cycle through so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I should be on. I should be beyond it.
Yes, I should be a person who that's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'm thinking she should be different.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you want to get caught in a trap, there's Ruben.
Yeah, I just wonder how many folks hear that same story about it should be different. Yeah.
To me, it cycles through because it's the story.
It's the story.
It is the story.
It's the headliner.
Really, I mean, every story is that story in some way because, you know, essentially every story, you know, I'll just talk about myself, every story that goes through is about me. Because I am the center of the universe, you know? And so eventually it's going to land on wrong because that's the reason for the story. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't have stories. Mm-hmm. And the only place that there's wrong is in conditioning. Mm-hmm. So it's always about me, and it's always going to end in wrong, no matter where the story starts. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you're saying that, I can see, like, yeah, it just takes us to the perfect place of being separate.
Yeah.
You know? Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. Yeah. And it is. And then, again, as was just talked about, the final ultimate hook is, you shouldn't have the story. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I don't have the story. Because mm-hmm. it's not, you know, it's one of these, we're talking, we only have the one word, I, but it's two completely different things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I am the center of the universe. It's always about me pointing at that I, is the eye of egocentric karmic conditioning. Mm-hmm. But to say that's not my story, that's a different my, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess because, you know, maybe the clearest way to say it is that I think, well, truly for each of us, at our authentic core, we're just life. Mm-hmm. We're just life. So that story of I should be different, I should, it isn't. Mm-hmm. It isn't my story because there's, there is no I to have the story. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, and it's difficult to put into words. It's just, it's going back to that, you know, there's that jewel, which is our authentic nature, and mm-hmm. and only egocentric karmic conditioning would be running the story of bad, wrong, you know, yeah. not good yes. enough. And that is not, I mean, from that place of the jewel, from that place of the cynic self, we can see that's not, doesn't have anything to do with us.
Exactly, exactly. But it so attaches in such a familiar and sort of can seem subtle and infiltrated way mm-hmm. that it can feel impossible to get distance on it.
Mm-hmm. It just feels so us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at transition and this thing, both, and and really, really watching that movement between, oh yeah, that's so clear. There's nothing wrong. It's everything's fine. It just, you know, I mean, in that place, at least in my experience, there isn't a talking about that. There isn't a, oh, nothing's wrong, mm-hmm. everything's fine. It just is, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then just that quiet little, whatever form it takes. Yeah. Whatever, and I think in transitions is a big way that it does that. Yeah. It just begin to attempt to get the attention back to that place of something's wrong.
Yeah, and as soon as we start to hear sentences attached to it, mm-hmm. it's like you said, you know, that everything's okay doesn't even have a conversation with it. It just yeah. is. And then yeah. and then the full paragraphs start.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as it's got our attention, that's
it
right.
Says
the full
right.
paragraph starts.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's really true. And to realize that, in my experience, in the places where it's all just okay and it's obvious, I can always see that the looping back through it over and over mm-hmm. is somehow part of the deal. Mm-hmm. And the transformation is happening mm-hmm. there. It's happening. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. And so, in the places these days where, again, there's that identification mm-hmm. with, it has to be. I mean, that's, you know, I've got these little lists that I look at, but sure enough, I must be on this poem because all those things are true. There's something wrong. I should be different. So it's, you know, mm-hmm. I must be over in this place. And just kind of practicing with relaxing. Mm-hmm. And going, oh, this is part of it too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah, that's an excellent point about, you know, the transformation is happening even within that experience of that being, you know.
Yeah.
Couldn't be different than it is.
Yeah.
And to just relax into it and be there with kindness and know that it's perfect. It's the perfect unfolding.
You know, as you say that, I suspect that's what all the sages of, you know, of years mean by things like the way is easy for those who have no preferences. Mm-hmm. You know, I really prefer the place where nothing's wrong and it's all going well.
Oh, perfect.
You know, and I don't really care. But the ultimate not preferring of this too, none of it's a problem.
I mean, it's here today.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Justin.
Well, obviously, the other side of there's something wrong or I'm wrong is I'm right. Which is the side of the dwelly I'm hanging out on. You know, it's exactly the same thing as what was just described. It's just a story that's off center. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be on the other side of the duality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I actually hang out way more on the I'm wrong side. But for some reason, I've popped over the other side. We just got to kind of do the other one every once in a while.
We'd catch on to the, if it was always on the I'm wrong side, then, it, you know, we'd probably catch on a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's boring anyway, but it's, it like it cements or something. And what's interesting about it is there's something, what it feels like it does is it takes something that I see, and this is like an eye, you know, some of the two kinds of eyes, you know, it feels like it's not an eye seeing it, it's a seeing happens, and it's, you know, just nice, I feel like I see something, or it like sees something through me, mm-hmm. it feels like, and then that's what kicks in the story,
mm-hmm.
because without like becoming the other kind of eye, the one in quotes, in relationship to whatever it is that was seen, then, you know, there still is nothing wrong, and it may or may not be useful to see that thing, and I don't know, you know, it just, if like that comes into sort of the group pool of experience in some way,
mm-hmm.
and it may go somewhere and may not, doesn't really matter. But then, but that's not, I mean, it becomes available to life, basically, it feels like, it's what I'm saying. And what the story does is it just jerks it right out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so then I'm right about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly I've, you know, completely lost touch with what it was that was seen.
Mm-hmm.
And now all the attention is in the story about that. And, you know, there's like that touching in on, there's an insight. And then it just goes off into never land.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it seems like I'm looking at the same thing, but I'm not. Now I'm inside the story about it, and it's completely the opposite.
Yeah, and it seems like the opportunity is there that pure insight arises, and then it gets taken over by, again, the story. Mm-hmm. The whole conversation starts about it, and it seems then the insight becomes diluted too. That, you know, it just becomes who knows what because of all the conversation that starts.
Yeah, you know, I just realized, I mean, that's exactly what happens on the I'm wrong side too. There's an insight. It might be like, I just realized that was unskillful that I did, without any judgment, you know, like, it's pure. It's not with the eye in quotes, like, oh boy, that didn't work, you know, that wasn't the way to go about that. But then, and if that just, actually, it's an easier way to talk about it on that side of duality in a way. If that just stays there in awareness, then it's just helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be there probably the next time that same similar sort of circumstance arises, or not. Maybe I need to have that experience a few more times. But it's, you know, it is gradually becoming more and more available,
mm-hmm.
to assist me as I kind of negotiate my way through life. But then, you know, the story immediately, that was bad, or I was wrong to do that, and then it just completely disappears. And the evil part is it just setting me up for the exact same thing again.
Yeah.
Because it takes away the ability to use that information. It just poofs it and just disappears it.
As you were saying that, I could just see the difference between how relaxing to just have something arise and hold it in our awareness versus having something arise and then have to have a whole story around it and maybe, you know, figure out how we're going to avoid that situation again, and this is how I'm going to be, and, you know, how I'm going to be the right person, and then in that conversation we get blindsided again.
Mm-hmm. With that. You know, just getting set up.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, it's so powerful, that place where the insight is just there without an eye taking it over. I had this, I talked about it, we had some of us had a group on communication this last week, which I found to be quite helpful, and I was talking about there too, but there was a way that it was a very tiny little thing, but that I communicated in a way that I normally don't. I normally get talked out of it because, essentially, there's a direct relationship to these things I've been seeing, and it was just very powerful for me because it was just different than what I normally do. It produced a result that is different from what normally happens that I liked. and, you know, it isn't even actually beyond what it is. I liked it. It just felt helpful. It felt like it was good for all of us and correct. You know, it was a tiny little thing, but it felt powerful to not be, basically what it was, what the place where that communication came from was outside. It feels like that world of right and wrong, because what happens is that world of right and wrong gets created, and then I'm afraid of it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. I want to be right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's all just gobbledygook. I mean, there's no way to kind of be in any of that truth that's sort of authentic or real. So I'm afraid of it. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid something's going to happen. I'm clinging to I'm right. I'm afraid something's going to happen to make me feel like I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But then the whole thing drops. If the whole thing drops away, then it doesn't matter what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. It doesn't matter what kind of feedback I get. It's just, there's nothing to be afraid of. And feel like there's a sort of a powerful, grounded place there from which I can really respond to life in a way that's effective and takes care of me and, you know, anybody else who is involved with me in whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So just being in that really powerful, grounded place of just being available to life and being able to respond from that place, rather than, you know, once again being over in that whole right, wrong, and all the tension and stress that is in that place of, like, just always having to be on guard to make sure that, you know, I stay in the right place.
Yeah, and mostly where I've been, to be honest, is in the right, wrong place. You know, that was a little blip out of the, you know, the rest of my experience. But, you know, it's just the voices are just kicking and screaming about stuff. And I think it's just because of that. It's because there's this place where, in the middle, where there's just a lot of possibility, a lot of power. And so it's trying to pull me into this right world of right and wrong where I can't, I that's not accessible to me.
Yeah. Certainly doesn't want you to live in that place, that centered place of being available to life. Mm-hmm. Then the jig is up for conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one other thing I just saw as you were saying that is that what's so hard about it for conditioning is that there's a huge letting go that's required to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to let go of being right and wrong, which is a really big thing. And I in quotes, you know, that one, that gets left outside of the door because it doesn't exist in this other place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what it's really all about.
Is
you know, there's that place without identity. But in order to get there, you have to let go of the identity. That's, you know, what we're clinging to do the now as we do this.
Mm-hmm. That big letting go of the identity to be in that place of being accessible to life is probably what's creating a lot of the ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was helpful. Thank you.
This is helpful. I'm laughing because it's, I can hear conditioning saying, how many years have you been practicing and you're just saying this?
The same thing.
So, in the last week or so, there have been a couple of times sitting when it has occurred to me that all I have to do while I'm sitting is notice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think all along there's been this this message that I'm supposed to have a certain kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've only heard 100,000 times about Sunday Facebook. There's that moment when you get it yourself.
You get it yourself, yeah. No matter how many times you've heard it. It's that experience of actually somehow just knowing it.
Just noticing what's going on, including if what's going on is all the kind of stuff we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Getting pulled off, being right and wrong, being caught in the voices, being lost, coming back. If all we're asked to do is just really be present enough to see that that's going mm-hmm. on. And it's just revelatory. You know, when something like that comes through, it's like,
That's all I have to do is
really pay attention.
Pay attention.
And be present to what's going on. And I don't particularly know, you know, well, this would be conditions question for me. Oh, why would that happen now? Who knows why it happens now? But it just came up. And I was appreciating the notion that we sort of have to go through all this stuff, you know, mm-hmm. As part of the movement that we're in the midst of. Mm-hmm. And because I catch myself getting caught in stuff and getting caught in stories and getting caught in fantasies and getting off on this and off on that. And it's just so helpful if I can just step back and say, oh, that's what's happening now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exactly, you know, what I was just saying, seeing in the sitting, is just that all I'm really required to do is see that that's happening mm-hmm. and not get into actually the figuring out even why, mm-hmm. but just notice, because that's the only place I can go where I don't end up with a story about that.
Yeah.
You know, or I don't end up with a judgment about the fact that that's happening. Mm-hmm. So it's just the place of noticing.
So just that place of noticing is the only way that you can end up without a story attached to it.
Yeah, the noticing seems to come from that other eye. You know, the noticing mm-hmm. just seems to be a noticing. Mm-hmm. And the minute I get into the eye who notices and has opinions about that, I'm back where I was. Yeah. And then I notice that, you know. Yeah. And the other eye notices that. But, you know, it's interesting because practice is, at the same time, just implacable and so forgiving.
Mm-hmm. Implacable and so forgiving.
Yeah, that it really requires that we keep stepping back, and it requires that we keep going through this stuff. And it's so forgiving in that, yeah, we go through this stuff.
Yeah.
And we may go through it for kalpas, you know, and God forbid, but anyway, we may go through it for kalpas. And all we're really asked to do is just be there and be willing to, you know, to see it and go through it and lose it and come back and just be really kind to this being who's mm-hmm. doing the best you can.
Yeah, that's what was coming up for me, just the kindness required to just walk this path of this being who, and, you know, while the transformation is going on and to continue just noticing and, I mean, like metaphorically hold her hand, you know, as she walks along.
It's almost like allowing her hand to be held.
Allowing her hand to be held.
Because if I move into someone who is holding her mm-hmm. hand, then that person needs her hand. I mean, there's a kind of way in which there's a kind of falling into life holding my hand or something mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. you know. It just feels so forgiving. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I have an example of the spirit of inquiry. This morning, so I'm sitting, and I start feeling this itch on my face, kind of like, you know, when you walk through a cobweb or the worm tree. You know, like that. And I thought, oh, okay, so I'm there with it, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm starting to picture an ant walking across, or, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. And what I was, okay, I'll do the, you know, I'm in a spirit of inquiry, you know, I didn't say that, but that's what I was really inquiring about this itch. And really, you know, just I'll just be with the itch, you know, and it was like it was moving all around my face, and it got so intense. I thought that you know, I was going to die. And so it got so intense, all I could do was just start breathing. And of course, that was the thing. I was doing the inquiry with the same mind that was making the problem, just like we say. You know, there was the eye looking at the, you know, at what was going on and experiencing it.
And having a whole story about it, and yeah.
Yeah, and I even dropped the story and was with the sensation, which, you know, generally that's all it needs, but I could see it was the eye was that we're talking about is doing that. And then when it got to the point, this happens a lot, you know, when it gets to the point of no return, you know, you're going to just die or whatever, when there's nothing else you can do but breathe, that eye falls away. And it's in the breath that, for me anyhow, that is that true spirit of inquiry, where then it's just basically, now it really is just sitting with what's going on, and it is okay. It was not okay at first.
So just coming to that place when actually there's a willingness to not move and to just sit with what's going on, even though there's this I that's kind of taking the whole thing over, that's, you know, looking at the itch and trying to figure out what it is and, you know, what, how to deal with it. And then in that willingness to just stay still and be with what is, there's this point when everything just kind of falls away.
Yeah, even to notice that you know, without even, I mean, I wouldn't have noticed, how do you say, you know that's going on. I mean, there's an awareness that knows there's somebody in there desperate, wanting, you know, this to go away. And that's it. To me, it's just like, it's everything in life. And yet, it gets to the point where, yeah, you surrender. I mean, there's nothing, it wasn't even a surrender. It just got to the point there was nothing to do but breathe, and that's that place where life just takes over.
Yeah, just getting to the place where realizing that it's there is no control. It's, you know, to just let go.
Yeah, there's nothing this I that was trying to do all that stuff can do, and just, you know, to drop into the breath and the nothing. There's no I there, I guess, basically to experience the itch, and it's just basically all okay. I thought it was very quiet. It was quite interesting. I mean, I enjoyed it now that it's over.
So you enjoyed the spirit of inquiry with the itch this morning. And yeah. And saw how that applies to everything.
Right, I don't think I'd be saying it was just about the itch. It does, it applies to everything. And it's interesting too, because the being knows, even as, at least I guess in the back of my awareness, there's always there, you know, you're not going to die of an itch, you know. So
there's some reassurance going on.
Even though I don't think I heard those words, I know I'm generally not going to die of an itch. Maybe people have. It might be possible. So anyhow,
thank you.
Well, the other day I got a note from the guest master, and the note said, tomorrow you will have an appointment with the visiting monk director at 2:30. So I took that back to the Hermitage, and I kept the notes. I wouldn't forget. I threw it on my little book and had it sticking up, so I wouldn't forget. So it was about 2:15 the next day, and I see the the other visiting monk in with his appointment. I go out at times, so I'll walk down the path here and use the restrooms and come back. And I come back at 2:30 and I come in the hall and there's nobody here, so I just sit. It's 2:35, 2:37. I had to move my pockets, I just didn't put it on. It was 2:20. And then it said, your appointment will be tomorrow. I go, well, did I get the note this morning? Did I take it this morning? They're dated, no, it's not dated. When did I get the note? But the thing about it was that I noticed it, and it was okay. When I first got there, and it still wants to surface, and there's so many guidelines to follow that, you know, self-hate wants to come in and forgetting, doing it wrong, blah, blah, blah. But lately, I've been noticing that that just happens. It's not about being wrong or right. It's just kind of like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost like if someone said, you're forgiven. Mm-hmm. It's okay. But there's a story that wants to come in about, well, that person is saying this about you because you didn't show up for them, blah, blah, blah. This is what wants to go on, but it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And like the other day, just somebody came up to me and said, there's a spot for your dishes now. I'm eating my lunch snack. There's a spot for your dishes. Before, it would have been, oh, I did it wrong again. Dang, can I get up there to do this? Oh, it's more thank you. And now I'll go do my thing. I wasn't aware that there was a spot. Mm-hmm. And that it's okay. Mm-hmm. And it's really a pleasant way to be, just knowing you're okay. And I didn't intend to offend this person by not showing up. I didn't intend to not put the dissertation up. And that also makes me to be more aware later. And then today, just noticing walking. I heard that phrase at the it's not in the seen, but the unseen. Just walking and knowing that there's something deeper than just what I'm seeing in the trees and my body and the deer and the birds singing. There's something deeper than that that's underlying underneath all of this. And going to that place of the unseen, everything kind of falls away. And I feel like a letting go of that. The self.
Letting go of the self. Yeah. Just be in that place of the unseen, something bigger than...
The unseen, because I'm part of the unseen. Yeah. Yeah, and just holding out my consciousness that really a gift to experience. Mm-hmm. And then noticing how when conditioning comes back in, it kind of goes away, and the stories are filtering in, so just... go back to the unseen. It's a nice tool. And it's nice to watch how I'm still seeing conditioning want to come in, but I'm not getting the reaction to it right now. It still wants to come up, and I'll still be in the kitchen, and it'll want to come in and say, well, are you doing this right? Yeah, you're the only one here. You're with all the resident monks, and they're going to quiet you out right now.
We have no one else to look at. That's
right. We're going to spot you out right now. Boy, why do we got this guy here? This guy doesn't do it fast enough, doesn't do it good enough. This is what he wants to tell me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice just to see that and let it go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
It just sounds like you're experiencing the relaxation of being okay with whatever is happening in the moment without wanting to go with the stories of conditioning about what it means about you as a person and that, you know, getting attached to the right and wrongness of things, but to just let that go and to just be like was being talked about earlier, you know, to be more available actually to the information that comes in because of just being much more relaxed and not attaching a whole story to it.
Like, yes.
Just being able to take that in and, yeah.
It feels really compassionate.
And very compassionate and kind.
Myself and others.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, battle on. Get out of here. Yeah. Enough already.
Yeah.
I know it'll serve us again, and it's a gift to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just giving yourself a gift too of our, I don't know, those aren't maybe the right words, but as you walked around this morning, to just be an experience of part of this greater unseen force that is not separate from you, and it's, you know, something bigger than what you might be just looking at, the individual things, but something else greater and underneath it all,
right,
or through it all, around it all,
yeah,
in it all.
Yeah, I have no idea, but
yeah.
it's sure wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Well, as I'm sitting here listening to the conversation, you know, I have stories that circle through, but then I have the story. It doesn't circle through, it just sits in my life, you know? It's just like defines my life. I mean, it's that, it's that substantial, you know? I mean, but I just, as we're talking, I just had an image of how it has shifted a little bit. So it's like, I don't know if you have had, there are in movies sometimes they'll do a visual kind of thing that I think often means sort of a transition or a fading, but so the scene, you know, it's still there, but it gets kind of wavy, you know, kind of like jello a bit, you know, I mean, it's, you can still see the people and the colors and the scenery, but it's, yeah. And I just had this image of that's how this story is with me. It's like it's around me and I see everything through it, but it distorts it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like for much of my life, it's not a new story.
Mm-hmm.
It has been so thick that it's like just, you know, like my body was like encased in it, sort of. And I just had the image of that it feels like now that it's still kind of around me like an egg with that shimmery sense, but that I have some breathing room inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a little space in there that I am not it and it is not me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I would say 99% of my moments are spent looking through it.
Mm-hmm. So just being able to see that the story that has actually defined your life, it's encased you. It's, as you were talking, it seemed like almost suffocating,
mm-hmm.
you know, just this kind of barrier to life.
Yeah.
And that, and now you've been able to get a little bit of space with it. I liked when you described it as like an egg-like.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
that's just the image I got, a kind of a watery egg.
Watery egg.
You can kind of see through it, but it doesn't actually have any gaps at the moment other than the space
mm-hmm.
between me and it that feels new.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like not quite so identified with this story that is you, and being able to maybe see that there are different possibilities or how it colors your whole life experience.
Yeah. There was something else that had come through this morning while we were talking that I can't quite get it back right now, but it was along the lines of, I think it's just along the lines of, you know, I have looked at this story, I have seen this story, I have seen through this story, I've seen the absolute nonsenseness of this story, the uselessness of this story, the suffering of this story, the origins of this story, you know, there is nothing new, really, between me and this story, as far as I can tell. Now, maybe there's still something I'm missing, but I have a feeling I'm not actually missing something. So there's this, then there's this belief that if it's that clear to me about this story and how useless it is and how unhelpful it is, that it should just go away, you know? And I think that's what, in a way, keeps it in place. I mean, so it's like, I don't want the story, I don't need the story, the story's not helpful, and yet it's right there in my face all the time. And I think what I think I'm experiencing about that space between me and it is that it's just like, all right, you're right there in my face all the time.
Exactly as you were describing that, that's what I was seeing, that I know this story, I don't want this story, is another story.
Yes, right. That's right.
That it just kind of builds on,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Double layers the story, right. Or how many yeah. layers story.
Yeah.
But that what the space that arises then over, like, you know, well, this
there
is
it. Is.
It. And
there it is.
Yeah, there it is. And it's kind of like a little bit about what Phil was talking about earlier. You know, mm-hmm. it's the impossible
yeah.
itch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just suddenly, at this point, just like, well, mm-hmm. it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And I just surrender to it and accept it.
Yeah, and the place that it can still reach out its little tentacle and hook me in is the little whisper, yes, but what if it's true? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if this time it's actually true? And I, you know, so I look at that and I say, well, someday actually it might be. It's the kind of story that could come true, actually.
Yeah.
You know? And but really, so then I have to think about it if it comes true. But I mean, it's not true at the moment as far as I know, so you know, it's just that's where it can get me, you know, viscerally. Yeah, but what if it is, what if it is true?
Yeah.
Well, really, what if it is true?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. What if it is true? Mm-hmm.
Yep. And absolutely, someday it will be true, to tell you the truth. I mean, given the people we are and the life we lead, it will be true someday. So, you know, but that hook of fear and dread about it is not going to make anything about when it becomes true any better. So.
Exactly, and it just really kills the moment and any opportunity to experience what life has to offer.
Yeah.
And I felt fear and dread just kind of throws the wet blanket over everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I just have to remember, you know, that everything I do in terms of practice and awareness leads to creating that gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that space between me and it, and you know, rather than, you know, that its temptation is to say, well, you know, it's not getting any better, so a lot of good this is doing, you know, rather than actually, you know, it is little bit by little bit, you know, and so little bit by little bit I keep doing what I do,
just one foot in front of the next, just
yeah
showing up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Alex.
I love that, that this time it's really going to be true. Like this time I'll really hold the football, Charlie Brown. You know, it's like, I look at that frequently with the one that gets me all the time, which is circumstances need to be different in order for me to be able to do what it is that I need to do.
Okay.
What's funny about it is that circumstances do change, and there's something else that needs to be different for me to be able to do what it is that I need to do. And no matter how many variables shift, I never end up getting to do the thing that I want to do, or at least I get told that I, you know, at least feels like it wants to move through me. And I just look really interested in that identity part. And as we were talking about the identity part, I pictured the identity like just making a big X with its body over the doorway of life. So that it's like, I cannot pass through because I am so focused on being a person who needs things to be a particular way in order to be able to participate, mm-hmm. when all I have to do is let go and walk through. Well, that part will never let go and walk through because that's all it really does is
it just becomes a barrier to,
that presents the world in such a way that things just need to be different. And I fall for that. It's funny that I fall for it. And it, I look at how things shift around, and it's like when things. So the basic premise is that I need to do less in order to be able to do what it is. Like, so there's always this kind of maneuvering that happens with conditioning. It's like, I need to not do this in order for me to be able to get to this. Mm-hmm. And every time that happens or something happens to shift that around, this other thing that doesn't happen. And I find, ironically, that the busier I become with more things going on, I actually become interested in this thing and I start to do it. It's almost physics-like, you know? It's like, you know, an object in motion remains in motion and a constant speed in a straight line must influence by an outside force. I was going to memorize that. It's great.
Yeah. I'm not going to reflect that.
But it's like how we talk about one process does not lead to another. Mm-hmm. It's like, so if I'm active, I'm going to be active. If I'm inert and I'm not responsible for anything, I'm going to be inert and irresponsible. I'm not irresponsible, but not responsible for anything. And it's like the lie that comes along with that just comes along with everything. You know, like, I'll feel terrible and tired after doing exercise. And never do! Right. But it hooks me every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just, as you're saying that, it's just like the difference between there's this thing I really want to do, mm-hmm. and noodling and talking about it and figuring it out instead of just doing the thing.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's amazing how an entire world can get created around this thing. Uh-huh. And it feels like I'm actually doing something about it.
Right.
There's noodling going on about where I'm standing.
It's planning and there's...
No, you just need to do it.
Yeah.
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 It's the old... you know, I need to clear off the desk and clean up my house before I can actually start the project. And that's why I love circumstances that put me in positions where it's like, I can't do it. You know, like, you know, we go off to Africa or something like that. Well, I'm living out of a suitcase, you know, it's time to do what we're doing, you know, and it is this constant, like, okay, we're waking up at this time. And so the monastic structure, in a way, helps with that. It's funny how in certain areas, however, what has supported me, it doesn't get translated into the amorphous times, you know, like mm-hmm. when there isn't a schedule and it's like where I could say, well, this would help me. And I think that's application of information that I happen to have that I can see that works, just dropping it and following the program, you know. Mm-hmm. Seeing what has assisted me and taking that on and applying it to something bigger and broader than just a simple, you know, a segment of life.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's like the monastic structure has helped, that schedule has helped focus you on what it is that you want to be doing.
Well, let's put it this way. It doesn't matter how I feel.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
How I feel is irrelevant.
Irrelevant. You just do this thing at
this
time.
It's because this is the time to do it, and it's like it's this consistent practice of doing that, and it's really what was just shared about I'm not here at the time that I need to be, and there's. I can either be in self-hate about it, or I could be. Mm-hmm. I could use this as information for moving me through. It's like that. Mm-hmm. It's like that. It's just today. It's how do I want to be? I can either suffer over it or I can be free about it.
And in periods when it's more amorphous, it's much easier to like get sucked into, well, I don't feel like it, or...
Yeah, like, it's amazing. It's like it's been waiting all this time, and it just can take over.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
No, that's good. No, it's just good to remember that that's what we're doing, is directing the attention. And that's really the name of the game.
The name of the game is the
attention gets pulled either, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it comes back to the email class, what do you want to feed?
Exactly. It's the, you know, object in motion thing. It's like it's you know, it's directing it consistently.
Where do you want that attention to go? We have a few more minutes.
One thing I was just seeing, kind of following up, seeing what people were saying and thinking about my experience of recently of sitting is, what arose is that there really can't be an I without supposed to's attached.
You know? There can't be an I without supposed to's.
I mean, you know, the I were touched, the conditioned I.
The conditioned I.
Because that's who I is.
Yeah. Conditional with all kinds of, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Justin.
Completely off topic, but I wanted to mention had a change in my recording and listening practice, which I'm finding really, really helpful. I had gotten kind of unsure how to negotiate with it, because I've got like hundreds and hundreds of really long, most of them, recordings where, you know, it's, you know, talking to the mentor like this, but it's like full of all of this detail and the circumstances that were going on then and are going on now and stuff. And so, you know, I would have like a something that I really want to remember, but it was just getting lost in this sea. I mean, days, and I can't remember what my phone says now, how many days. It's gone from hours to days of recording. It's in there. Just days of recordings. And so what I started doing, when I first started this, Yoshida gave the monks the assignment before she gave it to kind of the Sangha at large. And I don't remember when that was, but it's been quite a while. It's been probably a couple, 3 years. And when I first started, I didn't do like the, you know, like conversation with the mentor. I just spoke as the mentor. And so it's like a reassurance day, basically. Although with the added, you know, like the old reassurance thing, you know, it's not very particular. It was just, you know, I love you and variations on that. This is, you know, it's the mentor, like talking to the person who's in the circumstances, but without talking about the circumstances. Mm-hmm. So it's universal. And I don't know if that makes sense, but what's being talked about is universal. And when I first started, I only had like, for a long time, only had like 3 or 4 recordings. I just listened to them over and over and over again. I always loved listening to them. I never got tired of them. And so I started doing that again. So I'm at night when I'm walking home, I make one of those. And it's just the mentor speaking. Mm-hmm. And I love listening to it. Mm-hmm. As soon as I get enough, I only started like 5 or 6 days ago, but as soon as I get enough, I'm going to have a separate little place that shuffles where I can just listen to those. Mm-hmm. The other ones are fun too, but it's just you have to wade through so much stuff to get to anything worth remembering. And, but this is just—it's just like the essence of the matter, and it's basically reassurance. And you know, this is a little part of me who, because it's the mentor speaking, it goes directly to him, and it just completely alters my experience. So anyway, I'm really excited about that, and it answers a kind of a puzzle I've been having over the whole thing.
So you've had a bit of a shift in your recording and listening practice, and you've been practicing speaking just from the mentor as you record, and it sounds like in a universal way, like not like, gee, I'm really sorry you hit the hammer on your nail, if you hit your front thumb with the hammer today, or, but you
might
know,
be good to, you know, when you're swinging that hammer.
Yeah. But to have the mentor just speaking to you in a more universal way.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing the other two. I mean, it's a constant conversation with the mentor. Sometimes I'm recording it, sometimes I'm not recording it. Mm-hmm. And I find it really, really, really helpful. I mean, I love it. It's my mm-hmm. favorite thing. Mm-hmm. But listening to it is less... I'll have to ask Sherry about this and see what she says, because I feel like I need her input on it. But it feels like that listening to it is less helpful than when it's actually being sort of generated. Mm-hmm. But the reassurance is, boy, that's helpful. I mean, it just goes right to it.
Just goes, that's what I was just coming, just goes right to the heart mm-hmm. and to those, to all the aspects of herself that want that kind of reassurance and to have that recording that you can just punch and you can hear it and it just goes into that, which I know sometimes my recordings takes me a long time to get to that, you know. I got the whole story and then we get to the end and that's what I want to hear. But, but to just have that pure distilled conversation of just, you know, mm-hmm. to just access that.
Yeah, and I can look and see, well, what do I need right now?
Yeah.
And then just say that.
Yeah, just go right there.
Because I know what the story is. I don't need to say what the story is.
Exactly.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So that's been, I'm excited about it.
Well, thanks for sharing that. It's great. And that's our time.